Jesus, we praise you and thank you. We just worship you in all things. We lift you up and exalt you. You hear our voices, but hear the love that comes from our very souls that just gives that power to these voices, saying we love you, we appreciate you, we honor you, we thank you. We are ready to receive your word, the word that you have for us today. Your word always brings us life. It always brings us illumination. It always brings us revelation, and it draws us closer to you. We know you better because of your word. So we are ready to receive it in fullness. We praise you in advance. It's in your name, Jesus. Amen. Amen. You guys can be seated, everybody except for one person. Aaron. You know, I see so many people. Aaron, stand up. Aaron is here from the Naval Academy. Love the uniform. Serving us. I appreciate it. Love you, brother. I see so many faces I haven't seen in a long time. I'm just really thrilled to see so many of these faces. Hope you guys had a great Christmas. Now, Aaron and Anthony and anyone else that has served our country. Ed, anyone else served in? Jack? Did I see another hand? Deb, did you serve in there? Well, you guys are going to have a special, this word will mean something special to you. This is true for all of us. Because you're in the military, though, I think it'll have some deeper meaning and more significance. On Christmas Eve, I was sharing about Joseph. Joseph is the surrogate father of Jesus Christ. Now, Joseph, when you think about the story of Jesus' birth, Joseph is the one that's always overlooked. You know, Joseph is the one that we don't think a lot about, but he played a vital role in the earthly life that led to the physical ministry of Jesus Christ in this world. Now, one of the first things that we see from the Bible that teaches us one of the qualities of Joseph, one of the first qualities we looked at and saw was Joseph was a just man. Joseph was a righteous man. The word just means this. It means that Joseph did his duty before the Lord. Joseph did his duty. He conformed his will. He conformed himself, not to his will and his desires, but he conformed his will to live his life under the will of the Lord. He made the determination to live his life under the will of the Lord. That is such a powerful example for us. It's a reminder for us of how we should live our lives every day. We should be like that. We should have the same determination to conform our will to the will of Jesus Christ for our lives. We should be doing our duty to Jesus Christ. I really enjoy good quotes. There's a lot of quotes that are just, but I like good quotes. Good quotes, they're elegant, they're dynamic, and yet they're simple in their poignancy. And they make us remember a point. Here's a good quote for us to remember as we live our lives in Jesus on a daily basis. The duty is ours. The results are God's. We spend a lot of time in our lives. We spend a lot of time worrying about results in our lives. And sometimes we worry about results that don't appear to be lining up with the Word of God. But the end of the matter, at the end of the day, my duty, my part is to just do my duty in service to Jesus Christ. His part is to take care of the results. So when the Bible talks to us about the word duty, what is the Bible saying to us about duty? Well, if you look in the Greek in the Old Testament, duty means, I could probably have you guys even say some of these things, but this is what duty means. In the New Testament, in the Greek, it means something that is owed. It means a debt that is due. It means an obligation that we have to something or someone. Under the Hebrew, the word duty means something that is attended to. It means an office or a position of one who has been put in charge of something. Now, that doesn't sound like that's really important now, but remember that because we're going to come back to that later. Part of duty is the office or an office of someone put in charge of something. Throughout the Old Testament, the word duty is always strongly conveying this thought. It strongly conveys service to the Lord. Serving Him. Here's a great example from the Bible. This is from the New Testament. This is from Luke chapter 17. But I love this verse because it's a great way to get started. Understanding our duty to Jesus Christ. Because we have a daily duty to serve Him. In Luke chapter 17, verse number 10, it says, "So likewise you, when you have done all of those things which you are commanded, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done what was our duty to do." When we serve Jesus on a daily basis, this should be our heart. This should be our attitude. I have done what is my duty. All I've done is my duty. Every day, each one of us has a duty to Jesus, to serve Him. Every day, there is a duty that we have. Now, if you were to do a word search in the Old Testament for the word duty, you would find that the word duty, it almost always, most of the time in the Old Testament, it's referring to service unto the Lord. But when it's talking about service unto the Lord, it is actually referencing a service in the temple. So it's temple service. This is the duty that is always reflected back on priests and on Levites. But it has the same implication for you and I today. It still says the same thing. We are supposed to do our duty. We have a duty to serve Jesus Christ and not to serve ourselves and not to serve my own selfish interests. My duty is to serve Jesus in this temple. This is the temple of the Holy Spirit that we are serving in. Rather than worrying about the outcome of things in my life, what I need to be concerned with is just doing my duty, serving Jesus Christ. I'm not responsible for the results. I'm only responsible for doing my duty to Jesus Christ. This is not about works. This is about obedience. It's about being obedient to Him. So, what is our duty to Jesus Christ? I'm not going to answer that in one Sunday. I'm not going to answer that in a month. But I just want to look at a few things this morning. What is our duty to Jesus Christ? Let's look together at the book of John. John chapter 6, verses number 29 and 30 from the Amplified Bible. Did you see it started to reach down there? I know. John chapter 6, verses 29 through 30 in the Amplified Bible. It says this, "Jesus replied, 'This is the work, service, that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom He has sent, that you cleave to, trust, rely on, and have faith in His messenger.' Therefore, they said to Him," this is the people's response back, "they said to Him, 'What sign, miracle, wonder work will you perform then, so that we may see it and believe and rely on and adhere to you? What supernatural work have you to show what you can do?'" Now, there's a whole lot that is said right there. But Jesus, what's taking place is these people had followed Jesus. And as they followed Jesus across the lake, these that were following Him, they asked Jesus. They said, "What must we do to please God?" What they're saying is, what are the works that are required of us? They still have that mentality. They have to earn their redemption. They still have the mentality of somehow earning God's love. Well, in those verses, Jesus responds to them. And Jesus says to them, "The service that God asks of you is simply this, that you believe in Him." The duty of those who are asking the question is the same duty that we have today. The duty is that we simply believe in the messenger, that we believe in Jesus Christ, and that we believe in His word. That is the duty. Thank you. That is the duty that we have. That's our duty before Jesus Christ. Thank you, sweetie. So Jesus used their four key words or four phrases, four key words or phrases to describe to them, and He's describing to us what duty means, what it means to believe in Him. Look at the four different phrases or words and phrases that He uses. First of all, He said cleave to. Can you bring that verse back up, John? First of all, He says cleave to. Second of all, did we get the right one? Oh, yeah, it's there. You know, sometimes, I don't know why it is. I can look at something right here and it all makes sense to me. When I turn around and try to look at what you guys see, I'm always lost trying to find out where it is. The four words that Jesus uses. First of all, he says cleave to. Then he says trust. Then he says to rely. You know what? I think it was just the cable was loose. Let's start over again. Let's go back to the very beginning and start all over. So the four words that Jesus, or the four phrases that Jesus is using is cleave to, rely on, trust, rely on, and have faith in. Jesus is very specific when he describes what it means to believe in him. He's very specific. But look at the response that those who he speaks to, look at their response to his answer. Because the words that they use to summarize their response, it says that they are not yet fully willing to believe totally in him. Because they're only using, in their response, they're only using, when we see it in the Amplified, they're only responding with two of the four words that Jesus used. Jesus said cleave to, Jesus said trust, Jesus said rely on, Jesus said have faith in. They basically said two of these things. They said, Jesus, we're willing to do this. We will rely on and we will adhere to. Adhere to is akin to. It's the same. It's very similar to cleave to. They only said that they would do those two things. Two of the key elements that Jesus said, two of the key words or phrases that in the Amplified Jesus is using to describe believing in him, two of the words that they chose to ignore are trust and faith in, have faith in. They're only willing to use two. They're saying that they're only willing to go so far in believing Jesus. They're not willing to go the entire distance that Jesus is asking them to go to believe in them. Our duty as followers in Jesus Christ, our duty is to go all the way in this life for Jesus. It is to give him the full measure of our cleaving to, our trust, our reliance upon, and our faith in. He wants us, our duty is to give him the full measure of that. Now you can also look and see that when they responded to Jesus, they also kind of twisted and tweaked Jesus' meaning for the phrase cleave to. Cleave to means to cling to. It means to have the determination to be with, the desperation to be with him. It means to become one with Jesus. That's what cleave to means. They said that they were willing to go as far as adhering to him. Adhering is similar, but it has a much looser association. Adhering is sticking to, but without the permanence of cleaving to. Our duty is to cleave to Jesus Christ. Our duty is to go all the way in believing him and believing the word that he's given us, the word that he's spoken. Now here's the next thing that kind of reveals more of duty for us. This is in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to look at verse number 58. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Now, the verse that immediately precedes this one tells us to be thankful for all of our victories in Jesus. You don't have to beg. You don't have to plead with Jesus for your victories. Jesus has already established all of our victories. They're already done and established for us. Now, in verse number 58, we are told to be steadfast and immovable in that assurance. What's the assurance? The assurance is that we have all the victories in Jesus Christ. We're to be steadfast and immovable in that assurance. Regardless of whether you see the victory at that moment or not, you remain steadfast and assured. You remain steadfast and immovable. because you know from His Word that it's already done. It's just waiting to be received. Part of being steadfast and immovable, part of that means you continue to serve Jesus Christ regardless of anything else that you see transpiring or taking place around you. Regardless of the immediate results that you see, regardless, you continue to do your duty. Your duty is to serve Jesus, to serve Him every day. This is what our duty is. I'm not responsible for the results. The duty is mine. The results are God's. We see a really good example of that in a story with Paul and Silas. The story takes place in Acts chapter 17. This is verses 10, 11, and 12. Acts 17. Now, when you read these verses, you're going to say, I'm not really quite sure I understand that, but stay with me. It'll make sense, because I'll give you the background behind it. Acts 17, verses 10, 11, and 12. Then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. When they arrived, they went to the synagogue of the Jews. These were more fair-minded than in Thessalonica, and in that they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether these things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, and also not a few of the Greeks, prominent women, and prominent women as well as men. Here's what had happened. Paul and Silas had been sharing the good news of Jesus Christ within the synagogues as they were traveling. Paul and Silas are going city to city. They're going into the synagogues, and they're sharing the truth of Jesus Christ. The result of this is there's a lot of Jews that are coming to know Jesus. Well, in Thessalonica, their success had a backlash. And those who were opposed to Paul and Silas, they stirred up an uproar against them. This led to an angry mob gathering against them. And that angry mob actually attacked the house of one of the believers in Jesus Christ, because the angry mob thought that Paul and Silas were in that house. That's what happened in Thessalonica. Now, Paul and Silas left Thessalonica, and they went to Berea. Now, when they came to Berea, you know, it would have been very easy to adapt a different approach in Berea. It would have been very easy for them to say to themselves, you know what? This preaching in the synagogues, that kind of blew up on us in Thessalonica. So let's take a different approach here in Berea. But that's not what Paul and Silas did. They were committed to their duty to Jesus, and they knew what their duty was. When Paul and Silas arrived in Berea, they went right away to the synagogues. They got to Berea, they went immediately to the synagogues. And in the synagogue, they immediately fulfilled their duty before the Lord. They told those who were gathered together about Jesus Christ and who He was, even though they knew that the result might be that they would encounter the exact same anger stirred up against them that they had seen in Thessalonica. Paul and Silas did their duty to Jesus Christ in the synagogue. They reasoned the word with the Jews. And in Berea, what we just read, in Berea, the hearts of the people were open and accepting of the word. Paul and Silas saw results because they simply did their duty to Jesus Christ. They did their duty in service to Him. The results, those were God's. All I have to do is do my duty. The results are His, but I have to do my duty. So what is our duty? Specifically, what is our duty to Jesus Christ? Well, let's go back and look at the definitions. Remember, duty refers to one's service to the Lord. But it's talking about service that is service to the temple. We serve Jesus Christ in these temples of this body. We serve Jesus in these temples every single day. That is our duty. You also remember one of the definitions that I told you guys to think about and remember. It also said that duty is the office or the role or the assignment. It's the office of one who has been put in charge of something. Just like Paul and Silas, we have been put in charge of speaking and doing the Word of God in our lives. Every single day, somebody should be hearing the Word of God spoken from these lips. Every day, I should be speaking the truth into someone's life because there's someone that's going to need encouragement. There's someone that's going to need a word to stand on. There's going to be someone in your life tomorrow that needs to hear the Word. Our office, we are ones who are put in charge of speaking and doing the Word. Because as we do the Word as well, people are going to watch that and be drawn. It comes down to us doing our duty. The duty was for the priests and the Levites who were under order. We are under the order and under the authority of our head, Jesus Christ. And there is an expectation from Jesus Christ. He fully expects that we will do all of our priestly duties in this temple. We will do our priestly duties and serve Him every single day. This is our duty. Let me read these verses to you. This is from 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 through 9. Were you sleeping, Dad? Did she say, wake up, Dad? It sounded like Tilly was on patrol there. Come to Him, than to that living stone which men tried and threw away, but which is chosen and precious in God's sight. Come, and like the living stones, be yourselves built into a spiritual house for a holy, dedicated, consecrated priesthood. You know what? I'm reading that from the wrong version. I wanted the simple version. You also, as living stones, are being built up to a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. Do you have more? That's okay, I'll find it. Because apparently it's that kind of a morning. But that means good things. That means you'll remember this word for a while. So 1 Peter chapter 2, we just read verse number 5, verse 6. Therefore it is also contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he who believes on Him will by no means be put to shame. Therefore to you who believe, He is precious, but to those who are disobedient, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. They stumble being disobedient to the word to which they were also appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. This is talking about our duty. We have the duty. The duty is ours. The results, they belong to God. You are a stone, part of the living stone. You are being built. You are being built into a spiritual house, a holy and dedicated priesthood. Your priestly responsibility, your priestly role is to display the virtues and the perfectness of Jesus Christ. That's what it says in the Amplified. Your role is to display the virtues and the perfectness of Jesus Christ. When you read verse number 6 in the Amplified Bible, verse number 6 says that for those who are doing their priestly duty in their service to Jesus Christ in this temple, they will never be disappointed. They will never be put to shame. Because the duty is ours. The results, they are God's. I'm not responsible for the results. I'm responsible for doing my duty in service to Him. So there's one more verse I want to share with you. And then, of course, because we're heading towards a new year, I have some history for you. So this is from Romans chapter 12, verse number 11. Romans 12, 11 says, "Not lagging in diligence, not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." This is our duty. This is our service. Not lagging in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. So here's the history, because history gives us a great example of this concept of doing your duty to Jesus Christ. John Quincy Adams was the sixth president of the United States. John Quincy Adams lost the presidency after one term in humiliating fashion. But he was immediately voted into the House of Representatives by the state of Massachusetts. Now, that's quite humbling, going from being the president, not even to being a senator, but to being in the House of Representatives. But John Quincy Adams had a duty to Jesus to perform. And he saw it as a duty that he had to the Lord. At this point in John Quincy Adams' life, he'd become an ardent abolitionist. Now, along the same point, in this point in our history, the House of Representatives had a rule. The rule said that you could bring petitions from your constituents, and those petitions could be presented to the entire House of Representatives on Mondays. So on Mondays, John Quincy Adams would bring stacks of petitions from his constituents against the legality of slavery, saying that slavery was not legal in the United States. This is the topic that all the three branches of the federal government had worked hard to dance around for decades, because everybody knew this was divisive. And it would be polarizing to all the different states. It eventually took place that the House of Representatives, because John Quincy Adams would not relent, the House of Representatives actually changed the law or the rule within the House of Representatives. On Mondays, you could bring petitions on anything except slavery. Everybody could do whatever they wanted except for John Quincy Adams. And yet, session after session, John Quincy Adams continued to push forward that agenda to get rid of slavery. Nobody wanted to talk about slavery. Everybody wanted to avoid it, except John Quincy Adams. John Quincy Adams continued to pursue this. Every 2 years, he was reelected to his position. He served 17 years in the House of Representatives until his death. And at one point in those 17 years, he was so relentless and he irritated so many of his fellow House members that he actually alienated the entire House of Representatives against him. John Quincy Adams truly stood as a man alone doing his duty to Jesus Christ. He stood alone. In the middle of all that, there was a reporter that one time asked John Quincy Adams. He said, "Why? Why do you continue this hopeless crusade when you have seen no positive results? Aren't you discouraged after years of seeing no positive gain?" John Quincy Adams' response was simple and powerful. He said, "The duty is ours. The results are God's." John Quincy Adams is the one who coined that phrase. The duty is ours. The results are God's. It doesn't matter whether he sees the results or not. He is doing his duty. Doing his duty in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, when John Quincy Adams got towards the end of his tenure, and actually towards the end of his life, because the U.S. House of Representatives turns over every 2 years, as he had been relentless in this for 17 years, different members came in. He actually got to a place where John Quincy Adams convinced the House of Representatives to pass a law. And under the leadership of John Quincy Adams, the House of Representatives in our United States passed a law abolishing slavery in three phases. Did you know that? Our House of Representatives passed that law. It happened in 1843, almost 20 years before the Civil War broke out. Now, once the House passed that law, it had to go to the Senate. And the Senate would not accept it as a law. It turned it down. But can you imagine? I mean, just think about it. Think if it had passed in the Senate. All of that destruction, all of that amazing loss, incalculable loss of human life, would have been avoided. That's an amazing testimony, an accomplishment of one man doing his duty to Jesus Christ. But the results for John Quincy Adams, they don't end there. John Quincy Adams' words that he used in that legislation, those words were later adopted by Abraham Lincoln. Because Abraham Lincoln was greatly influenced by John Quincy Adams in the one term. Abraham Lincoln served only 2 years in the House of Representatives, but he was greatly influenced by John Quincy Adams. And so, years after John Quincy Adams was dead, many years later, many of his very words from that legislation, his words were used in the actual freeing of the slaves. That is doing your duty and letting the Lord take care of the results. Staying with just the era of the Civil War, there's another great quote that I wanted to share with you about duty. This is from Robert E. Lee. Anybody know this quote from Robert E. Lee on duty? Robert E. Lee said, "Do your duty in all things. You cannot do more, and you should never wish to do less." We should never wish to do less than our duty, than our service daily to Jesus Christ. We should never wish to do less. As we approach 2016, we approach the new year, the word that I'm confident, because I know the Lord gave me this, it was not the direction I was going to head this week. I had something entirely different to go to, but I know this is the word that the Lord said for this year. So as we approach 2016, the word that the Lord has for us as a body, for us as a collective body, is duty. The duty is ours. The results are God's. We should be about doing our duty. We should be about doing our service to Jesus Christ in these temples of this body. Because the duty is ours. The results, they're God's. Amen. Let's stand up and praise Him.